Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD-HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and it's always a pleasure to welcome into our studios, as we do once a month, the boss, the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht. And President Albrecht, I know you have a guest you're excited to introduce to our listeners. We'll get to her in just a moment. But speaking of exciting things, I know you are excited to be just back from a trip to Washington, D.C. and the White House. Explain to our listeners what took you to the White House.
Well, thank you, Greg, and it's always a pleasure to be on the program. You do such a terrific job of helping share our story with our community. And, you know, representing Gateway Technical College, every month I have so many exciting opportunities to share with our community. And this month we'll talk about manufacturing, since October is Manufacturing Month, and Jennifer McNally, who helps lead a national movement around an organization called the Manufacturing Institute, will be our guest. And actually, the paths crossed for Jennifer and I many years ago when she worked for the United States Department of Labor. So it's probably fitting that I just share a little bit about Wednesday's trip to the White House. This was the eighth convening and the last convening of this current administration's effort to promote community colleges. So it was a community college summit held at the White House, and Gateway Technical College was one of the featured programs there. So I was quite proud to represent our community. And Jim Ladwick and I, Jim is the Director of Global Community Affairs for SC Johnson Corporation, had a chance to speak to an audience about our boot camp training program and how SC Johnson has really helped foster a movement within our community and now communities throughout the nation to bring underemployed and maybe dislocated workers back into the workforce with tuition-free support and training at their local college, and in this case, Gateway Technical College. It's been very successful. We highlighted a lot of the featured elements, and then, of course, the overall graduation completion rate and the fact that those families and individuals now are in family-supporting jobs. They're working in our community. They're contributing to society, and they're providing great opportunities to continue to advance their families as they go forward. So it was an exciting story to share. I was so proud to be able to share that and then really represent our nation's community colleges at the White House.
Oh. That's one of those pinch me moments, right?
It really was, yes.
Very good. I know that you are, among other things, excited to talk about a new partnership that Gateway has with Amazon, which, of course, has a very exciting presence here in our community.
Yeah, there's so many different changes that are taking place in our community, and we know that it's important to stay connected to the new jobs that are taking shape through the new companies coming here. And recently, we extended our partnership with Amazon Corporation as we helped them move to Kenosha, doing some initial placement of candidates and doing some recruitment. But now we've actually built a classroom. Amazon has put a classroom inside of their facility out on the interstate in Kenosha. And we've had two training sessions already in which we open up opportunities for their employees. So we'll be offering associate degree programs at Amazon and on campus. Amazon will do a lot of the work internally to help their employees find the right career path, and then they'll fund the tuition to take programs at Gateway Technical College. So
Wow. Just
could not be more proud of that effort. And it pushes Gateway into a new area of corporate training, and you know, the types of skills that individuals need for fast-moving companies like Amazon will help us in the long run.
Oh, that's a win-win for sure. You want to say something about the National Career Pathway Initiative?
I would. You know, you talk about all of the great careers that we have and how do we connect with our local school districts and build those awareness experiences, and we will talk a little bit about some of them today with career fairs that we hold on campus and bringing students here, but it's all around developing a pathway, making sure that the curriculum is aligned between elementary, middle school, high school to post-secondary, has a focus and an effort to really help students understand why those skills in education are important to their job future and how we can build pathways so that students can move throughout our community and transfer jobs to different areas, and they're a little bit more secure then if changes take place in their work life, and they're much more confident in being able to adapt to new skill sets as our economies continue to change. So we're excited. Gateway's a part of a national effort in this. We've been a pilot test site for the pathways, and Jamie Spatial, who leads that effort for us, has been nationally recognized and just received a great award 2 weeks ago, and I want to compliment her on her leadership, a National Leadership Award in Career Pathways. So congratulations to her.
Wonderful. Well, as you said, we have a very special guest joining us today, namely Jennifer Bicanelli, Executive Director of the Manufacturing Institute. And so first of all, Jennifer Bicanelli, we welcome you to the program and appreciate you making time in a busy schedule to be part of this conversation.
Thank you, Greg and Brian. It's great to join you. I have such respect for Gateway and your personal leadership, and really looking forward to today's discussion.
Well, beyond being a longtime friend of Brian Albrecht, what else can you tell us about yourself and then about the Manufacturing Institute?
Wonderful. Thanks, Greg. And I say, Brian, I do feel like we go quite back some ways in time to, you know, 20-plus years ago, I think before either of us certainly had the jobs and the roles that we have today. But the thing that you and I both have in common is our unwavering passion to advance people and their lives and their communities. And that's really the role we get to serve here at the Manufacturing Institute. So the Manufacturing Institute is the 501c3 to the National Association of Manufacturers, the largest trade association representing manufacturing interests. And the role of the Manufacturing Institute as a sort of public trust, a C3, is really to help manufacturers and their community partners build an educated and prepared workforce. Well, I'm sure we'll get into the details behind that, but the Institute, we're really the national organization that wakes up every single day and worries about tomorrow. You know, do we have the right individuals walking in our doors every single day? To Brian's point of, it's not just about the pipeline, but the skills of the current workforce. Are we making investments in them? Does our community even know we make things here? So the Institute serves as a national role model in what community action looks like, and we're so proud to be partners with Gateway and Brian and his team. They truly are a national model. So excited to be here today and get into the discussion.
Yeah, and I would just add just a little bit to kind of accelerate Jennifer's career path getting to this stage. She's been a remarkable leader for many years in helping all of us at the community college level better understand our role in developing workforce training programs that align with the National Workforce Development Organization. So in our communities, it would be the Racine County Workforce Development Organization or the Kenosha County Workforce Development Organization. And that alignment has been absolutely critical in the long-term success, including the message that I just shared about our boot camp training program with SC Johnson. That is a direct affiliation with our workforce development centers, and Jennifer's been leading that at the national level in the Department of Labor and now through the Manufacturing Institute.
Jennifer Bicanelli, one of the most valuable things you provide for this conversation today is a national perspective when it comes to, for instance, looking at how Wisconsin is doing. At least in some respects, Wisconsin likes to think of itself as still a pretty powerful presence in the manufacturing sector, with maybe a healthier manufacturing sector than in other states. From your overview position perspective, does Wisconsin have a right to look at itself that way?
Absolutely, Greg. And you know, we do, as you point out, a lot of national data around manufacturing and the strength of the manufacturing economy. And I think it's important to always start out with why manufacturing and why is it important. And manufacturing, I often think, is the segment of our economy that builds communities. Unlike any other industry, manufacturing has the highest multiplier effect. It's not just about the jobs that manufacturing creates. It's about the ecosystem that manufacturing supports in communities like Kenosha. And it's, you know, a 1.3 multiplier in communities. And when I think about the strength of manufacturing, I absolutely think about Wisconsin. You know, from our national data, 18+% of the output in the state is grounded in the manufacturing economy in the state, employing over 16% of the workforce. That's true impact, and it's not just the things that we make here that get consumed here. You know, Wisconsin is competing in a global stage for manufacturing and U.S. manufacturing in a global environment. The other important element about the strength of manufacturing and what that means in Wisconsin is manufacturing pays more than any other sector. When we look at benefits and wages and opportunities, and Brian, you talked a little bit about your new partnership with Amazon and their commitment to growing their workforce. You know, manufacturing pays more than anybody else, and that's, you know, statistically just the facts. And that makes community strong, that makes families strong, that allows us to grow. So having the opportunity to bring together public-private partnerships, as Brian has talked about, really I think strengthens everybody's community. And certainly when I think about Wisconsin, I think about the power of that in the history of this nation.
Yeah, Jennifer, I think you really zeroed in on some key points there. You know, 18+% for the state of Wisconsin, and in southeast Wisconsin, of which you're familiar with our region here, it's nearly over 25% of the workforce is dependent upon manufacturing and manufacturing jobs. And so we use these terms, you know, about in manufacturing we make things, right? But in manufacturing careers, we make lives better because they are a multiplier effect and they do pay higher. And it allows us to create an economy that is going to bring goods and services to a higher level of need within our community and be able to sustain a growing economy through that effort.
Hmm. President Albrecht, say a little more about how you initially crossed paths with Jennifer McNally and with the Manufacturing Institute.
Yeah, I know how to make Jennifer smile, even though she's all the way in Washington and we're here in Racine. And it's just to say we met through Snap-on, and I know that she's a big fan of Snap-on. But part of the effort was when I first came to Gateway, we were working on developing public-private partnerships. And as our community, I think, recognizes now, Gateway has a very strong partnership with many of our companies, including probably Snap-on Tools as one of our leading partnerships. We applied for a grant through the Department of Labor under that, at that time, called the President's High Growth Initiatives, which was really to transform the way that educational institutions like Gateway could deliver technical skills in an employer-based model. Mm. So that means we had to find short-term training programs, we had to find ways to integrate industry standards, we had to find ways to make the curriculum more flexible for students so that they could come from work and take short-term courses and things like that. And Jennifer worked for the Department of Labor at the time, and when we submitted our proposal and received the award, I was so excited when she called to tell us that we were going to be one of the model colleges around the country to help develop this in partnership with Snap-on Tools. And ultimately, that led to a whole curriculum network that we shared with the country. And today, we call that effort NC3, the National Coalition of Certification Centers, impacting 480 colleges around the country. 1,500 teachers have been certified under this umbrella, and over 60,000 students have been earned their credentials. So Jennifer was a very important part of the original development of that national network that still exists today.
Wow. Exciting story. Exciting. Jennifer McNally, your organization has given Gateway Technical College a designation as an M college. M as in Minnesota, or M as in manufacturing, probably. What exactly does that designation mean?
Greg, we use the M list, and I will say M is for manufacturing, as a recognition to truly call out the best community in technical colleges. Brian, in his overview of our roots, and actually Nick Pinchuk sits on the NAM Board of Directors, and I have the pleasure of connecting with him on a fairly regular basis. And I think he'll regret the day I sat down next to him at the first dinner where myself and another colleague from Snap-on sandwiched him in to a conversation that really was the catalyst for this journey. And, you know, Nick and Snap-on are just tremendous leaders in what good really looks like. And when we got to the Institute after my time at the U.S. Department of Labor building these public-private partnerships, what we knew from a government side is it's often difficult to, outside of the government or inside the government structure, recognize excellence. That's, you know, ranking and calling good and bad is not what government does, but it certainly is a piece of what the private industry does. So one of the requirements and partnership that we ask, and I will say it's important to note that Dr. Albrecht also sits on the Institute's Education Council. And when we got here in 2008 and decided that we were going to begin aggressively pursuing a stronger partnership between the manufacturers and their community and technical college partners, we established an education council and called several leaders, including Brian, to Washington and said, okay, here's the direction we're going. Tell us if we're on target or not. And that's really important because we learned a lot of lessons from our college leadership in what good partnership looks like and how we need to be in our partnerships for the long haul, and Brian's note around the NC3 partnership is a great example. One of the things that grew out of that effort was how we recognize schools as delivering quality partnerships, and that really became the anchor in our M list. When we look at what quality looks like from a manufacturing perspective, recognizing how different education is from community to community, sometimes college to college, and they're less than 20 miles apart, we really anchored our efforts in the use of industry-based certifications. Could we get our college partners to certify students going through their programs of study? And I think in the ideal, we have certified programs, certified students, and certified instructors, so that it's very clear and transparent to an employer what a student has when they graduate. And individuals, colleges that have those programs and the leadership and depth of partnership we recognize under our M list. And we really do consider them the best of the best in the community and technical college arena, delivering exactly what employers need in a flexible and adaptable environment. And Gateway is one of those M-listed schools.
I am so proud of that, Jennifer. We try to remind our community of that at every opportunity, and a great credit goes to our team, Debbie Davidson and Manoj Babu, who lead our manufacturing focus for us. And the fact that we're recognized as a leading college with a quality product that we're delivering for our students is something that makes me very proud. And it has become a cornerstone for us at Gateway, the idea of public-private partnerships and really trying to do the best we can to align our academic experience with real-world experience and integrating those industry competencies into the daily experiences that our students go through in a learning environment is essential to help build their confidence along with their technical skills so that when they're entering the workforce, they are job-ready and they are confident and they're on a way, on a career path that's going to lead to greater opportunities for them than what we could offer in a degree program.
Yeah, you know, Brian, building from that thought, I think it's important to note, because this isn't the opportunity every student has in every community college. You opened up talking a little bit about the boot camp efforts. And one of the things that I think truly makes Gateway stand out is the flexibility for the student and the employer, that individuals that are going through to that whole anchor in career pathways. And for so long in this country, we've looked at education as an end point, not a journey. And what we all know is no matter what we're teaching somebody today, tomorrow it's going to be outdated. That's the pace of change in industry.
Yeah.
And allowing the opportunity for students to enter into a path, get what they need, potentially earn and learn, get a job, advance more, advance in their career, advance with their knowledge, make sure they're always up to date. I think that really is the new world order of what the world of work and the world of learning needs to be. And Gateway has certainly been a very early adopter of that flexible model.
And there's many ways that that is accomplished. You know, traditional pathways of co-op or work experience programs, internships, apprenticeship programs are extremely important for our community and for what we offer at Gateway. And to really help expose students to that, but then also teachers. On Friday of this week, we'll have 400 teachers from the Racine School District here. These are high school teachers, middle school teachers, elementary school teachers, all learning about how technical careers and technical competencies can add value to basic skills of math and science and STEM-related fields. And it's an exciting way to help showcase how education pathways in education can really lead to a positive future for everyone.
Hmm. For those of you just joining us on the morning show today, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. This is his monthly visit to the program. And with us via telephone is Jennifer McNelly, who is executive director of the Manufacturing Institute. And just in the nick of time, with the month of October almost gone, we are having this conversation while it's still October, which is National Manufacturing Month. Jennifer, maybe you could explain how that designation came about, and maybe the importance of setting aside a specific month of the year to talk about manufacturing in a special way. Why is that so important?
Oh, Greg, in my world, every day. 365 days a year, and anybody that gets close to me, I suck them into that vortex. But you know what? What's really important about manufacturing day, week, month, and it really started with a group of associations and my colleague Ed Udell at the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association International, FMA. And he had a great idea. Is there not a way to raise the visibility of manufacturers to this country? And I say, maybe this isn't a problem in Kenosha, Wisconsin, but I often measure the understanding of the fact that we make things here by my taxi ride in cities across the country. And you know, usually 2 or 3 minutes in, and I'm talking about manufacturing. And what I always remember when I get outside of my own bubble of manufacturing is the majority of Americans understand manufacturing is important to this economy, but don't really understand what it is we make here, what the career opportunities are. So when Ed came forward with the idea of could we create a partnership that raises the visibility of manufacturing, that encourages manufacturers in a very structured and unstructured environment to open up their doors and invite the public in. You know, we tend to be closed off behind gates, not necessarily displaying what we make. Can we begin to have parents and teachers and neighbors understand the opportunities in their community? So this year was the 5th anniversary of National Manufacturing Day. When it started, it was a couple hundred manufacturers. And as we head towards the end of the month, we're north of 2,700 events that have happened across this country that have showcased what modern manufacturing is. And that's from opening up the doors and inviting students in to showcasing our educational programming to teachers, as Dr. Albrecht is doing, President Albrecht is doing in Kenosha. But it really starts at home, because what we know about manufacturing is we have a problem certainly nationally, and that's the perspective I speak to. But in the end, jobs are local and people are local and education is local. So we need to build that momentum from the community level up. But to grow from a couple hundred to over 2,700, one in every state. Every state in the country had some form of a manufacturing day, week, month event. The other thing that's been amazing about it is the support from our public policy leaders. A number of governors have issued proclamations in their state, and that creates a bit of a media buzz. So in addition to the exposure, we're managing to influence the conversation, positioning manufacturing and the opportunities that they offer in a very positive environment. And you know, happy to speak a little bit about why that's important to students, but certainly for manufacturing as a whole and for raising the visibility. If people don't know we make things in this country and how important that is, then we won't ever have the future workforce we need.
Very
so
well.
It's critical.
Yeah, very, very well put. President Albrecht, what here at Gateway has happened during National Manufacturing Month?
Yeah, well, we didn't have 2,700 activities, but we had a lot of activities. So just a great shout out to Jennifer and her whole team. I mean, I follow social media a lot, and I get a chance to see all these different clips of things that's happening in communities around the country. And it's really inspiring to see the SkillsUSA students doing their competitions and receiving their recognition. And we have all of those elements here in our communities as well. But some specific things that we've been working on, Governor Walker did announce that the support for Manufacturing Month in Wisconsin, and had been visiting many different businesses, and announced the Fast Forward funding for this next round to help advocate for worker training, and that was a big boost for us. The state, Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, also held this competition called The Coolest Thing Made in America, and Harley-Davidson won the award for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin, which was a very cool thing to do. But 2 weeks ago, we hosted 1,500 high school students over at the SC Johnson IMET Center to talk about careers. That was a big boost in helping us create greater awareness. Of course, we got our teachers that are coming on board with us as well. We did host the system president, Wisconsin Technical College system president, Morna Foy, last week, and she visited Elkhorn High School, Union Grove High School, and our partnerships that we've established with Articulated Credit Alignment and Project Lead the Way, and then also visited our RPM Center, the Reader Precision Machining Center, which is a great partnership with Mike Reeder and his organization to help build capacity in Swiss screw technology machining. We shot a video for the National Precision Machining Association on campus, and just a whole lot of things that have been helped creating greater awareness, including a couple editorials that I wrote in the local paper. So we've been busy, not just me, but everyone on our team, to help advocate for the awareness of what Jennifer said. You know, we make things here, and let's celebrate that, and let's try to highlight and create awareness within our community of how important manufacturing is.
Tell our listeners a little bit about this program that's been mentioned before called Dream It, Do It. What a great name.
I should have mentioned that in the list of things that we do, right?
It fits perfectly, doesn't it?
It does. Well, then that's an effort, actually, Jennifer, I'll ask to comment on as well. It's a national effort to help create visibility for the exciting careers that are available in manufacturing. Because many people think about manufacturing as, oh, I'm going to work on a shop floor and I'm going to run a machining apparatus or something. But there are all kinds of careers. There's engineers. We need accountants. We need business leaders. We need sales representatives. We need marketers. We need social media applicators. We need app developers for manufacturing. There's so many different elements of manufacturing. And when I talk to a lot of our students, you know, they might be in a program in business management and try to relate that to, you know, where's your job? Well, I want to work for XYZ company. Well, that's a manufacturing company, and they don't really make that connection. So the Dream It, Do It program is a visible way through video clips where students are with employers talking about the exciting careers that they're training in and that they have the opportunity to build careers in.
Jennifer McNally, one thing that often comes up in conversations about manufacturing is the acute need for skilled workers, and all of the places across the country where there is nothing short of a crisis in terms of that shortage. I imagine this is an issue of very, very grave concern for the Manufacturing Institute. Do you have specific initiatives designed to address this?
We absolutely do, and a number of them, even we have partnerships with great companies like Harley. So, you know, Brian hit on the front end of the need to build the pipeline for our future workforce, and the Manufacturing Institute as the national sponsor for Dream It, Do It. You know, we have 40 out of the 50 states across the country that have organized activities, as Brian's just described, exposing students as early as elementary school and middle school to careers so that they're not opting out. And Brian is so spot on with when people think about manufacturing, they don't really understand what the depth and breadth of opportunities are. And Dream It, Do It really helps to position some of those career opportunities from accountants. I was just in Southern California and was talking to somebody from Honda who's a compliance person. You know, they're worrying about the regulations that they have to follow. There's huge diversity in career opportunities. So helping young people understand that, Dream It, Do It last year reached almost 500,000 students, 75,000 parents and educators through consistent messaging and resourcing. I think that's really the role that we play at the national level. How do we get to delivering the best-in-class messaging to parents and students and teachers and counselors in our community? And when we talk about the pipeline of workers, it's always easy to look to the youth and our future, but the problem is the last time we got to an 18-year-old, it took 18 years. So, you know, we need to fix the pipeline for the long run, but there are also some very immediate opportunities as it relates to the manufacturing workforce that we need to take advantage of. One of them is the diversity of our workforce. Women represent, you know, 49% of the labor force, but are only 27% of the manufacturing workforce.
Wow.
How do we raise the visibility of women in industry? And actually, we do a national recognition for women called Step Ahead, Women in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Production, our spin on STEM. And for the last 4 years, we've recognized women from the C-suite to the factory floor and everywhere in between. And there's a great video that actually features two women honorees from 2016 that are from Harley-Davidson. And they tell an unbelievable story about their obligation as women in the industry to help inspire young girls and to help advance women in the industry. So there is an opportunity, and I would say broadly, the diversity of our workforce. Mm. How do we upskill individuals? And then we have a really big focus and commitment to our veterans in transition.
Oh. Now,
nationally, we have about 250,000 veterans that return home every year. And they've been on the front lines of this nation's security, and they come back home and don't necessarily know where those opportunities are. So how we get them into good training programs at colleges and technical programs like Brian has, and then into the workforce, is a really big priority for the Manufacturing Institute. So, you know, we need to tackle this on all fronts.
Yeah, and I would say, Jennifer, I don't know of any organization that's taken this on as strongly as you have, and so really a great credit, the Step Ahead program, and I forward those email links that you sent to us to all of the different networks that I have as well, because it's so critical to create awareness. So, you know, everybody needs to personalize the experience somehow, so I always try to personalize that in the context of my own daughter, who is now a biomechanical engineer working in a manufacturing setting, and it's really a unique opportunity for her, but it was not an easy one. So we've got to continue to build awareness on how we can support women in those roles or veterans in those roles. We just hired our second veteran service consultant at Gateway, so they're providing more access to veterans for programming, and there's just so many elements of support that we can provide in the community college role that we play, whether it's connecting directly to high school students, creating that bridge of opportunity and awareness through Dream It, Do It, or support services for students that are in non-traditional careers, or really creating greater community awareness around the value of the jobs that are available right here in their home communities.
You know, Brian, that's really important. One of the research studies we do with the Education Research Center for America, or IRCA, looks at, you know, 23,000 high school students and how they make decisions on careers. And I will say, you could probably mirror this in the general public. And I find it interesting when thinking about young people, people immediately jump to they're making decisions in social media and a social media environment. But what the data tells us from 23,000 students that have had one program of study in career and technical education is the biggest influence in their career decision is interest and experience.
Hmm. I believe it. I mean, that's why the Dream It, Do It title is so perfect. I mean,
yep.
If you can put people in a setting in which they can experience something, they quickly can relate their own personal interests, their attributes, and they can see themselves in that role. You know, even from the facilities, you know about our SC Johnson Integrated Manufacturing Center. That was a specific effort to change the dynamics of what people, how they viewed manufacturing programs. And along the way, we built new opportunities, increased math skills, and all the things that are necessary to be successful. But you've got to put people in a place where they can see themselves being successful.
Yeah, and have good role models.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the two women executives from Harley are a great example of showcasing what success can look like and how you inspire someone. And, you know, when we went out in the marketplace to try and find stories of women welders or machinists or accountants or HR execs, there'd been a lot that had been done in the engineering space, and we continue to have that be right behind our frontline production workforce, a huge skill area for us, but we couldn't find that comprehensive story. So we're so blessed with the leadership of the 400-plus women that we've recognized. You know, 2017 will be the fifth anniversary of our Step Ahead national recognition, and we've really decided to focus on impact. We're in the process right now, an open survey with Deloitte, because when I think about how personal job decision-making is and how much people rely on connections and what they're exposed to, I think about the power of an individual and the power of one. You know, you can change big systems, but you change a life one interaction at a time. And I think of all the people that we've touched through Dream It, Do It, or through the Step Ahead initiative, and every one of them becomes a catalyst for everybody else they interact to. And that, to me, is incredibly powerful. How do we have more ambassadors, more champions, more advocates for manufacturing careers? Because the downside of this in our public perception study is, though everybody understands manufacturing is important, and if 1,000 jobs were to come into their own backyard, they'd want them to be manufacturing, number one. But it falls to the bottom of the list when encouraging their kids into careers. So we really need to reposition modern manufacturing to reflect the opportunities and diversity that we've been talking about today.
President Albrecht, maybe you could talk about one facet of this that might not be immediately familiar to a lot of our listeners, this notion of industry certifications that Gateway is doing more and more of, along with the academic degrees that I think most people understand. Explain what these industry certificates are. And in a sense, you know, the purpose they serve, the function they serve, and how they are serving this greater issue of bringing attention to the manufacturing sector.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I think this is one of the core elements of discussion as we think about how do we create pipelines of young people and adults and all the ways that we try to attract people into manufacturing careers and accelerate their learning environments and then really recognize the skill sets that they have. And so everything that Jennifer talked about on how do we expand people's awareness about manufacturing and recruit, whether it's women into the programs or a more diverse population or veterans, just as an example for our community. So Gateway Technical College serves 23,000 students a year. So that's our headcount. That's a lot of people. We offer 63 associate degree programs, many of which have articulated bachelor degree programs. In fact, we just announced recently our new bachelor completion program with Cardinal Stritch here on campus, unless you can get your degree in business or in healthcare, and then pursue a bachelor's degree right here on campus, and now even in some programs a master's degree right at Gateway Technical College. But along with those academic credentials, which are extremely important, so let's make sure that all our students finish and study hard, right? Those are important. We offer 100 certificate or diploma programs. So short-term training might be a year, might be 6 months, but it's a shorter, compressed experience, not as much academic support, more technical support. So it's really job retraining type of certificates. But what many people don't realize that within that scope of those 63 associate degrees, 100 diploma programs, we offer 200 industry certifications. So along the way, as a student is learning their technical skills and their academic skills toward their degree completion, we're embedding industry certifications. So it might be in welding. They take a welding course, and they're going to become welding certified, AWS certified. Might be in automotive. They become ASC certified or Snap-on certified. Might be in HVAC, and they become certified through PARA organization or a train certification. So students, when they graduate, actually have multiple demonstrations of skills. One is an academic degree, a diploma that we give them at graduation, but the second and third and fourth might be all those additional industry credentials, of which are a little bit more closer to the language of the industries that they're going to work for. So if you went to work for an automotive dealership, they would recognize immediately ASC or Snap-on. It's just part of their industry culture. So it's a communication link and a way to demonstrate competency and verify competency through a certification platform. The Manufacturing Institute has been a leader in helping shape the umbrella structure to recognize the quality of certifications and how do they all fit under this national recognition area. And an area that Gateway's been heavily involved in with the Manufacturing Institute is MSSC, the Manufacturing Skills Standards Council. And I'm fortunate to serve on that board, and we issued over 1,000 MSSC credentials at Gateway alone. So we're really supporting the embeddedness and the integration of manufacturing certifications into our programs.
Jennifer McNally, I imagine your organization feels good about industry certifications and the kind of thing that Gateway's doing in this area.
Greg, we take great pride in that effort. We started this journey with partners like Brian in 2009 when we sort of drew a line in the sand and said, here's what good looks like. And the alignment of industry certifications and embedding them in the programs, as Brian has just described, create a new level of transparency to employers. You know, I often referred to it as the 80% match. It may not be exactly the way Company X want somebody to be trained, but they understand they have all the reading and math skills, the basic fundamentals of manufacturing, understand principles of lean, because it's the employer's job to train them their way. And we have seen huge improvements in efficiencies. And equally, one of the things that we have the great benefit of being part of the National Association of Manufacturers is influencing the public policy conversation. So through the NAM's leadership and the NAM Board of Directors and NAM's Education and Workforce Committee, they were strong advocates for the reauthorization of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act to embed certifications as part of the process in the education and job training environment. As the Perkins Act comes up for reauthorization, how we have those same principles embedded. And though the Institute is not an advocacy organization, we certainly inform the public policy conversation and the efforts that Brian has talked about. We consider that improving the efficiency and effectiveness of education and job training, while equally helping employers understand you can't customize every single program at a community and technical college. You know, Brian mentioned at the top of the program positioning people for shifts in the economy. You know, we've seen examples in communities where employers have trained employees and then economic changes have come and there's no translation of what they know. Industry certifications really creates that translation currency. If somebody is MSSC certified, they're MSSC certified in Kentucky, Wisconsin, Indiana, Florida, anywhere. So there's a lot of really great value for how then you react to changing climates within a community. And that's why we've been such strong advocates for the use of industry certifications.
And I might just add, Jennifer, so that was the seed of the idea many years ago when we applied for the very first Presidential High Growth Initiative and working with Snap-on. That was how we were going to change curriculum, change the delivery, closer align the skill sets of what we offered in a traditional academic program to be better prepared so that students would become better positioned for the job market of the future. And it was around a new technology, diagnostic technology, that we didn't have any industry certification for and really no educational platform for. So the idea of the embedded certifications has great strength here in Southeast Wisconsin, and we were real fortunate to work with you on helping develop that model. And now, of course, the Manufacturing Institute has gone much broader and has a lot of new partners that are helping make that happen. We're just glad to be one of the partners that can help bring that certification network to our students.
Hmm. So, Jennifer McNally, to sum up this conversation, what would you tell young people who might be thinking about a career in manufacturing and wondering if it's something they should seriously consider?
I would start with all of the world's challenges are manufacturing solutions. Come be part of that opportunity. Hmm. You know, manufacturing really needs people. We have diverse roles and demanding and rewarding careers, and we need the best and the brightest solving the world's problems, from clean water to customized healthcare and the medicines that get delivered and the efficiencies of cars, great partnerships like Snap-on and others. You know, we really need the best and the brightest solving these world problems, and we want people to have the opportunity to design and build their future. And you know, if they can dream it, they can do it in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's so inspiring about that, Jennifer, is when you think about manufacturing, and there's movements all over the country and in our own community as well with things like fab labs and 3D printing and maker spaces, and it's really true. If someone can dream it and sketch it out or put it in a software program, you can actually build it. And so when young people, we think about how do we express ourselves and still continue to be a creative environment, I think manufacturing allows for that and really helps to transform sort of the learning environment for the student. We just recently did some 3D printing anatomy of the human heart so that students could get a real feel for what it looks like, the size and shape of a heart and how it all works. And then the next day we did some 3D printing of some impellers that are going to be put into a little motor that can help provide distribution of water to plants. And so as students think about complex issues and they think about how the world works and how they can make a difference in the world, you're absolutely right. They can have control over their own future through a an experience in manufacturing, and they truly can. If they can dream it, we can do it.
Well, this has been an exciting conversation indeed. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to explore all of this. And, of course, it's great to hear about all the good work that the Manufacturing Institute is doing. And Brian Albrecht, Gateway, of course, takes this issue very, very seriously. And to pursue this is not cheap. I mean, it's a huge investment that Gateway has made, but it's obviously one you feel really good about.
Absolutely. I mean, Jennifer just hit on so many key elements. If we don't find a way to help support students entering into the manufacturing field, whether it's greater awareness, whether it's job connecting and the degrees, how they all fit into this bigger world of helping create a more successful local economy through producing products, we'll never be able to continue to sustain the types of living conditions that we want for us and for our kids in the future. And so we're willing and happy to make those investments. We want to make them strategically. We want to make them with our business partners. We want to align the curriculum of competencies so that students have a market advantage when they receive their degrees from Gateway and can perform at a high level so employers can continue to be successful. And that public-private partnership generates an opportunity for me to have a conversation with employers around shared investment. And that's how we end up with things like the RPM Center and the Reader Precision Machining work that we're doing in Elkhorn, the SC Johnson IMED Center that we have. And next month we'll announce another new great partnership with Kenall Lighting here on the Kenosha campus. So we continue to find ways to help share our work with our community's long-term goals.
It's an exciting story. And Jennifer McNally, we appreciate all that you have done on behalf of this really, really important issue. And we wish you and all of your colleagues well in this good work as you go forward. And we appreciate you joining us today on The Morning Show.
You bet. President Albrecht and Greg, thank you for your time this afternoon. And, happy Manufacturing Month.
Yes,
can't
thank you,
off
Jennifer.
The phone without happy Manufacturing Month.
Right. Same to you, my friend.
And thank you, President Brian Albrecht. We'll see you next month.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg. Next week, an interesting array of programs for The Morning Show are scheduled, beginning on Monday, when we will spend most of the hour with Nick Berudian, who is the founder and artistic director of the Bell Ensemble, about to begin their second season of performances. And they have something quite intriguing planned based around the theme of the Totentanz, or Dance of Death. It will be a program combining singing and dance in quite an exciting fashion, and we'll be talking with Rudy about that on Monday's program. On Tuesday, you're going to meet a veteran of the Korean War, Grant McMillan, who was involved in the crucial Battle of Chosin, and that is the subject of a PBS documentary for the series American Experience, airing Tuesday night. Grant McMillan is one of about a dozen veterans who appear on screen as part of that documentary. By the way, he was a prisoner of war of the Chinese for 32 months. He talks about all of that on Tuesday's Morning Show. Wednesday, I am thrilled to welcome into our studios one of America's most highly honored and respected composers, Libby Larson, who is going to be a visitor to the campus of Carthage College for most of next week. And we will have her in our studios Wednesday morning. Thursday, we'll spend part of the hour with Dr. James Kinchin, who is, of course, the Director of Choral Activities at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And although we are still making arrangements for the program, we are hoping to talk politics on Friday the 4th. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock, and the program is archived on our website, wgtd.org. Click on Talk. Support for The Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for The Morning Show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com.